Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to church. Special welcome to you. If you've been journeying with us since Christmas Eve, you're checking us out. Last week, I talked about what is Christianity all about? And I said, Christianity is all about a community. And this is our community, Kamloops Alliance Church. And there's lots of great churches in our city. We hope we are one of them as well. So this is for you if you're kind of new to Christianity, you've said yes to Jesus over Christmas Eve, or you're just looking for a new community of faith. This is kind of a good snapshot of who we are and what we're all about. We think these weekends are really, really pivotal for us as we think about the vision of our church, because vision acts as a point of the future that we want to be moving towards. I don't know if you've ever been kayaking or canoeing with somebody who doesn't know how to row with you. It is so frustrating because you can't get to where you want to go. There's sideways energy. And so we just believe that these weekends, we just press pause from our regular kind of sermon series and we think about and vision, again, here is who we are and here is where we want to go. So one of the things you need to know about KAC, Kamloops Alliance, is our mission and vision. At the bedrock of who we are is our mission. And that is to know Jesus and to make him known. This is the driving force behind every single thing that we do, to know him and make him known. There's two things. To know him is going deep in Jesus, and this is about discipleship. This is about knowing him through his scripture, through the community, through the word. We want to know Jesus. The second thing is to make him known. That's about mission, that we want to go wide. It's deep and it's wide, and we just believe this is the heartbeat of biblical Christianity, to know Jesus and to make him known. Our vision, our hope, our desire, what gets us up in the morning, what we pray and fast towards is to see all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. All people and fully devoted. You know, this is so cool. January 2nd, 3rd, we're in the heart of downtown Kamloops right now filming this. Why? Because we want all people, everybody in our city and in our region. We want to be a church that is in our city for our city. And so that's all people. By all people, we mean all people. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Become fully devoted, not seasonally devoted, not just at Christmas and Easter, but fully devoted to him in every part of their lives. That's what we long for, and that's what we pray for, to see all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Why? Because he gives us the best life. And so here's what we're going to do this weekend is we are going to talk about for the next 6 to 8 months, we're forecasting in a COVID year. I understand how crazy that is, but we're forecasting over the next 6 to 8 months, what are the things that we need to do as a church and who are the people that we need to be? So it's doing and it's being. Let me just cast some vision, inform you about some of the things we're thinking about doing when it comes to our church. One of the things is our weekend gatherings. The most important part of our church is a gathering of the people. And obviously right now we can't gather with these restrictions, but we are still hoping and longing for the day where we can come together again. One of the things that we had planned before COVID was a sanctuary renovation. Our sanctuary is the most important room in our building. In a non-COVID year, we would have more than 40,000 people through that room. And so we just wanted to spice it up a little bit. If you've never been in the room, it's a great room. It's just a little tired. And so we wanted to renovate it with a new paint and carpet and seats. And so coming up in January, this month, we are going to be moving ahead with those renovations. We pressed pause through COVID because we wanted to make sure that we were stable financially, that everything was looking good. And so this January, we're going to be moving ahead with a new carpet, a new paint, and new seating for our sanctuary as well. And that is on top of a new soundboard and some other technology upgrades with a new screen that we really are looking forward to leveraging for weekend services. So I know people are like, yeah, but bro, it's COVID. What does this look like? You know, regardless of what the future looks like, we still are going to be a church that gathers in that room. And we want to use it to God's glory. So that's what we're going to be moving ahead with when it comes to just our space. One of the things that COVID also has given us, as we before COVID, we're experiencing good problems that churches experience is growth. And we were running out of places for people to sit. And so we hope to be a one location but two venue church to go multi-venue. So instead of entering into a massive building campaign where we're structurally moving walls and doing all of that stuff, we thought the wisest thing that we could do was to maximize our current square footage. And so what we had hoped to do was to go multi-venue. That's to open up the Ministry Center, which is a brand new, almost brand new location in our church, as well as a sanctuary. And by doing that and adding a few extra services in our Ministry Center, we would double the capacity at our Lee Road location. And so we wanted to go multi-venue. Now, because of COVID, and the concurrent gatherings of 50 that we were allowed to do, we actually had a three-week run at going multi-venue, and we've learned a ton, and we're launching that. And that's one of the things that we hope to launch here in the next 6 to 8 months moving forward. One of the things that we want to do for our church as well, not with our weekend services, but rather with the new program, is something called Rooted. We want to be a church that knows Jesus. This is about spiritual formation. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to practice the faith. We want to be knowledgeable in our head, but we also want to be practicing the things that Jesus has told us to practice, that he has promised to meet us in these areas. And so Rooted is a new program under the leadership of Pastor Tim Bussey, a spiritual formation pastor, that will facilitate a lifetime of growth in these practices. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or whether you're just new on this journey, this program is going to be so helpful for you as it outlines 7 helpful practices that you can engage with, learn about, and do within community. You're going to find this so valuable. So this January, we are going to launch this Rooted program. We've been doing it actually as a staff. This fall, we've been doing it as a pilot project to learn and to figure it out. And it has been so helpful for us as a staff, people who have been apprenticing Jesus for a long time, but in community, sharing stories, practicing the faith together. So this starts in January. It's a 10-week long course, and we would welcome you to be a part of that, whether you're new or you've been following Jesus for a long time, to be a part of the spiritual formation program called Rooted under Tim Bussey. You know, one of the things that I know as the lead pastor of our church is so strong in areas, and we have so many strengths. And I love being a lead pastor that I would actually attend our church if I wasn't working at the church, which I don't know how many lead pastors are allowed to say it. I love our church. It's fantastic. But I also remind us that our church is imperfect. So this fall, the elders and I and our executive director, Tim Hogenboom, went away for a few days, and we strategized, and we prayed, and we listened to each other, and we listened to the Spirit. And as we were talking, one of the things that came up over and over again is one of our weaknesses. And one of our weaknesses is not being able to empower the laity, to empower you for ministry. So in the New Testament book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, Pastor Paul, is writing to this ancient church that he established. And this is what he says to him in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. He says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers." He gave the church leaders, is what he's saying. Listen, to what? "To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." He's given the church leaders, pastors like me, why? To what? To preach sermons? No. What he says is to equip the people for works of service. And this is a weakness in our church, that we do not have enough people stepping up, being involved in the work of service of KAC. So how do you view the staff of our church? How do you view the staff? How do you view me? See, it's easy to view the staff at our church as solo track stars who exist to do all of the ministry. You know, according to the scriptures, that's not who we are. We're not solo track stars. Are we supposed to be preaching and teaching messages and count? Yes, 100%. But primarily, Ephesians 4:12 is saying, equip the saints for works of service. We're not solo track stars. We are, in fact, coaches wanting to bring you in and release you for ministry. And we need to improve. In order for us to be the church that Jesus wants us to be, we have to get better at doing it. So what does that mean? What does that look like? Number one, it means that you got to step up. It means that you got to sign up. But here's the first step, is we as a staff need to change the way that we think and use our time. That we need to be recruiters. We need to have a magnetic culture that you want to be a part of, a healthy culture that you want to be a part of, to use your gifts and discover your gifts and be a part of this movement, this mission that we have. So this is what we hope to do. And so what we want to do over the next kind of 6 to 8 months is we want to address this. We want to talk about serving. We as a staff need to get trained on how we do this better, to recruit you, to onboard you into the different areas, and to release you for ministry. We also need a system in order to do that, that funnels people through, that you have your questions answered and you know your spiritual gifts. And so this is something that we are working on right now as we move into 2021. So that's for our church. What about for our city? As I said, we want to be a church that is in our city and for our city. We want to know Jesus and we also want to make him known. So as we think about being a multi-venue church, one location with a few venues in it, we also want to be, and this is from the elders, we also want to be a multi-site church. We want to plant a campus eventually within Kamloops. Our heart is for our city, both in its holistic lift. We want to provide Christmas hampers as we did this Christmas season. We want to be networked with all of these organizations within our city 100%, but we want to be telling and proclaiming the message of Jesus for people and the reception of that message. And we know that the way that you do that is through the planting of gospel-centered, gospel-proclaiming churches. And so this is our vision. This is what we hope to do. Are we going to do that in the next 6 to 8 months? Maybe, who knows, we're in COVID, but this is our heart and this is our desire. Would you pray along with us? One of the burdens that we carry as a church, and I hope you carry it too, is that statistically, about 3-4% of people in Kamloops would consider themselves a Bible-believing, gospel-proclaiming Christian. That leaves about 94,000 people who don't know Jesus. Here's what that means, is that we are not in competition with other churches for the shuffling of the sheep. That's not what we want. We want new people to come to know Jesus. That we don't want to be competing with other churches to have one family move from this church to this church. No, we're not in it to play that silly game. What we want is to see other people who don't yet know Jesus come to know Jesus. And so we just believe planting another campus within our city is the best way to do that. So one of the ways that you can be on board and on mission with that is this January, this month, we are launching Alpha Online, and this is perfect, perfect for people who don't know Jesus, the pre-Christian, the person that you have been walking with, telling them about Jesus in word and deed. You need to invite them to participate in Alpha. It's all online. It's so easy, and it is so good. As we think about mission and movement in our city, would you be a part of this multi-site vision and inviting people to Alpha? Lastly, as we think about things that we want to do and what we're praying for, is to reach out and have Indigenous inclusion and ministry in and through KAC. So when I got this job a few years ago, in preparation, I had some time off in that summer, thinking about Kamloops and about me and my leadership and potentially even my legacy here at KAC. One of the things that I felt so clearly and strongly is to be able to reach out to Indigenous people. There's about 11,000 people in our city that would identify themselves as Indigenous. It's the fourth largest per capita in our province with Indigenous people. So there's a huge, huge segment of our city who are Indigenous people. So I realize as I bring this up, there's so many issues and it comes with so much baggage, but I just feel compelled. Listen, I feel compelled, not by culture, but by Christ, to lead our church into this. And Over the last few years, I've been reading and making connections, talking to people who are doing ministry with and to Indigenous people, making Indigenous friends of mine, people that are in my life who have walked this road of residential schools and have felt the pain of all of this. And this is an issue that is so huge, and clearly, I am not good enough as a leader to do this. I don't know really the first steps to do it, but I think we need to. I think we have to, compelled by the love of Jesus. And so I want to lead KAC into this great unknown, into these scary waters. And I don't know what this brings up for you right now, but we need to be humble. But I just believe in the grace and love and gospel of Jesus, that he can work things that we would never feel possible. There's lots more to be said and lots more to come on this, but this is something that we need to do. Would you be praying and even reaching out to me or leaders at our church about ideas and maybe even your potential involvement as we tiptoe into this great ministry and inclusion of our Indigenous friends? So that's the things that we want to do. The things that we want to do in 2021. But what about the people that we want to be? I know, as a pastor and things that I've seen and even in my own journey, that instead of focusing on progress, we need to actually focus in on process. That who we are is more important than what we do, because we can do all of these great things for Jesus, but if we don't love him with all of our hearts, it doesn't matter. That who we are is more important than what we do. So this is January. Welcome to January, a new year. This is a time where you are brought face to face with yourself and maybe your weaknesses, maybe a grander vision of who you want to become. With New Year's resolutions, this is goal setting time. This is thinking ahead of, man, at the end of 2021, who do I want to be? So everybody knows that there's something wrong with themselves, and this is a year that we try to address it. I hate to be the pessimist, but statistically, by the third week of January, most of us have given up on our New Year's resolution. And for sure, by Valentine's Day, it's completely squashed. It's completely squashed. There's many reasons for that. Maybe one of the reasons is that as we think about and put down on paper our New Year's resolutions, that most of the time, our resolutions are geared for only our benefit. Only our benefit, that really we are the hero of the story and we want to be better, which I think self-improvement and growth is always good. But I think at the heart of a New Year's resolution, oftentimes it's a selfish endeavor. So in 1723, Jonathan Edwards, a pillar of church history, at the age of 17, he started to write down resolutions. And every year he would add in more resolutions. By the end of his life, he had 70 resolutions. And he would start them by saying resolved, and then he would list out what he wanted to see. And it was so cool, because if you read these 70 resolutions, they're beautiful. They're Jesus-centered. They're God-glorifying resolutions. And it wasn't just something that he wanted to do at the beginning of the year. He would actually revisit these weekly and pray through them. So what I want to do, I want to cast some vision for you as you think about New Year's resolutions in 2021 and who you want to become. Maybe these three can be on top or at the priority list of who you want to become. So they all start with resolve. Here's the first one. Resolve to pursue healing in my life. Resolve to pursue healing. In Psalms, Psalm 30, verse 2, says, Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. I called to you for help and you healed me. Maybe that's your theme verse for 2021. I called to you for help and you healed me. Our own self-salvation projects don't work. They will fail us every time, but Jesus is a Savior who will never fail you and will forgive you when you fail. And so we call out to Jesus in 2021 for healing. The wounds that you and I carry, the healing from your past. You see, when we don't seek God for healing, we drag a rock behind us wherever we go. And some of us have been dragging around that rock for a year or five or 10 or perhaps even your entire life of dragging a wound that you have been carrying for so long. Maybe for you, this pain point or this wound is a pornography addiction. And as you look back, it's with shame that you think, man, I've been doing this for like 10 years and I haven't told a single soul. Maybe it's a dysfunctional relationship in your life that you just keep going back to, and you know that it is cancer for your soul, but it's the only normal that you know. And you know the best thing that you can do is to actually get out of it. What about for those of us who just carry a negative thought pattern in your life that you think you are worthless and you don't know why? And this is a wound that you carry. As we think about even 2020, this year that we've been living, that we just lived through, man, it has been a painful year. Maybe there's a wound that you carry, the destruction of the business that you have worked hard at for so long. The relationship that broke down in 2020. There's a lament and a grief that we have through it. Maybe in 2020, that was the year where you got diagnosed with cancer, diagnosed with something in your life physically. These aren't just like emotional or relational wounds. These are physical wounds that we all carry. And Psalm 30 invites us to cry out to Jesus for healing. Would you invade my life in this wound that I have experienced, whether it's last year in 2020 or the years before that? You cry out to Jesus, would you come and heal me? And in this way, our wounds can become sacred wounds. That the healing that Jesus can bring in the midst of our pain. Because the question of our wounds and our pain is, will they make us bitter or will they make us better? Will they make us bitter or better? There's a Catholic author, his name is Richard Rohr. I love this quote. He says, if we don't transform our pain, we will most assuredly transmit it. If we don't transform it, we will transmit it to the people closest in our lives. And perhaps 2021 is the year where we call out to God. We are resolved to come to God with our wounds and our pain. That's the first one. Who do you want to be? Secondly, we're resolved to take the low and humble place as a people and as a community. In another letter that this guy Paul wrote to another ancient church, he's thinking about and writing about the sacrifice of Jesus. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Why? Because Jesus, the greatest man who ever lived as God, sacrifices his life for others. And the pattern in which you and I walk as Christ followers is one of humility. Humble people reach out to God. See, to be a part of a community, to be a part of KC, in the midst of all of this division and polarization and fear, you and I need to be part of a humble community where we seek to understand one another, when we seek in love another person's opinion. If you seek humility in 2021, I guarantee you the closest relationships in your life will flourish. Perhaps in 2021, your marriage needs humility. It demands you have to be humble, owning your stuff. Humble people are the best people to be around. They have nothing to prove. They're able to own their stuff. They're not defending their own righteousness, but clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, they're able to admit their wrongs. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'm sorry if I was too aggressive in that way. Humble people pray instead of posture. Because we have nothing to prove, we pray for each other and our community, that we know that there's somebody else greater in our life, a greater author of the story. So would you, in 2021, resolve to take the low and humble place as Jesus, our leader, master, forgiver, and Lord, did? A few years ago, before we had kids, well, Hannah was 6 months old, but we went to Italy. and we spent a week in Positano, Italy. It was magical. If you know Positano, if you know the Amalfi Coast, a lot of these quaint Italian cities, little villages actually, are like on a hill. They're extremely, extremely steep. There's like 350 stairs to get from the place that we were staying to the top of the city. One of the last nights that we were there, there's a torrential downpour. It was beautiful. It was August, but there's a torrential downpour. And so all of the water that came from the top pooled literally almost at the bottom where our hotel was. And as we stepped onto the entranceway of our little quaint hotel, there was like 8 to 10 inches of standing water. The Spirit of God is like water, and it always pools at the lowest spot. If you want more of Jesus in 2021, humility is how you get him, because he pools at the lowest place, and may you and I take that posture in 2021. Finally, the third, who do we want to become? What's a resolution that you can actually adapt or adopt in 2021 that will benefit others, including and yourself as well? It's this one: resolve to be hungry for God and his glory. Resolve to be hungry for God and his glory. So back to Ephesians. This is a prayer that has really struck me through the fall in 2020. This prayer, beautiful prayer of Paul, he ends, he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Would you be hungry for the things of God? I love it. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." My question for you is, what is possible in 2021? What is possible for you in 2021 as we submit our lives to King Jesus? What can he do in our lives for the glory and his renown? I am calling our church, listen to me, I am calling you and I and our church into a season of radical faith. What is possible when everything is against us, when our physical gatherings have been removed for the health of our city? What can be possible? You see, the church has not been shut down or canceled. It has been deployed. And so you and I need to have radical faith as far as what Jesus can do, to him who is able to do immeasurably more. That just because we can't meet does not mean our church is not still on mission making him known. And so what does this look like for you personally in your life? Is 2021 the year where you actually stand out in your faith, in your workplace, to be counted as a follower of Jesus, to put up your hand and say, "I am one of his," to the sake of my reputation or my finances, that I will be counted as a follower of Jesus. I will make him known in our city, that I will be burdened with the lack of people who know Jesus in our city. What is possible for you? You need to do a hard thing with your faith in 2021. And complacency is not it. You need to do a hard thing. You need to step up. But what is possible for us as a community, corporately, in our church? We are praying for renewal. We are praying for God to do something that is way beyond the scope of what I could do as a lead pastor or our community can do with a shared vision. We want to be storytellers of things that we cannot attribute to ourselves or great leadership or great systems. We want to attribute to the Spirit of God moving. We want renewal in our city, and we want renewal in our hearts. And so to the great people in our church who are older, you can define that as you wish. Do you believe that the best is yet to come? As you think back on the great legacy of KAC, 75 years old, do you believe that the best is yet to come? I am calling on you to believe that and pray and give towards that. To the younger people in our congregation, I'll let you define that as you wish. Here's the thing about renewal. It has just been true throughout the history of renewals, is that renewal is started by young people. It is. It is started by a group of young people who rail against the status quo, who are discontent at their contentedness with Jesus. So if you are younger in our congregation, would you own the mission of our church, the vision of our church, and would you stand out and do a hard thing for Jesus in 2021? What is possible that we would resolve to be hungry? This is about desire. And maybe for some of you, the first step, the first start is to pray that you would desire to desire because you are complacent. That you would pray, Jesus, would you rock my world that I would be on fire for you? Imagine what's possible in 2021 for you and for our church. What's this year going to look like? Oh my goodness, what is this year going to look like? Who knows? When we're filming this, there's a new strain of COVID in Europe. Oh my goodness, it's like another tidal wave. Are you kidding me? Is a vaccine going to work? And man, there's so much uncertainty and so much unknown and probably still so much change. Change outwardly, but also change inwardly as well. And that's all about New Year's resolutions, is we want to see change. In 1738, there was a literary giant. His name is Samuel Johnson. He wrote in his diary in 1738, he says, "O Lord, enable me to redeem the time which I have spent in sloth." In other words, a New Year's resolution. I don't want to waste my time anymore. 19 years later, here's his journal entry at the beginning of the year. "Oh, mighty God, enable me to shake off sloth and redeem the time misspent in idleness and sin by diligent application of the days yet remaining." 19 years later, still hadn't changed. He wrote the same variation of their prayer year after year. Finally, in 1775, 38 years after first writing that resolution, here's what Johnson writes. "When I look back upon resolution of improvement and amendments which have, year after year, been made and broken, why do I yet try and resolve again?" Listen to me. Here's what he says. "I try because reformation is necessary and despair is criminal. Continue to seek after Jesus in the middle of our frailty." See, in this way, Johnson is describing your life and my life. We want change. We desire change. We want to be different. But how do you get there? And we start every year thinking, this is it. This is going to be the year we desire and resolve to turn over a new leaf. And this time we're actually serious. We promise ourselves that we're going to quit bad habits and start good ones. We're going to get in shape. We're going to eat better. We're going to be better husbands and wives and mothers. And then 12 months later, like Johnson, here we are again. This is the painful part of being human. So in the midst of our inability to change, listen, the gospel of Jesus is good news, announcing Jesus' infallible devotion to us in spite of our inconsistent devotion to him. Friends, yes, let's be different. Let's seek Jesus this year. But here's what you need to know. Your starting point has to be this, that Jesus does not love a future version of you. He loves you today exactly how you are. That at your best and at your worst, his love does not change for you. So let's resolve. Let's make goals. But may you be found in the love of Jesus. Because as you are found in the love of Jesus, our community naturally gets better and stronger. I am excited for this year. Who knows what's going to come? But I know who holds us. And his name is King Jesus. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this time where we can intentionally set aside time for our church and us. Lord, there's things that we need to do. We need to get better as a community. Things that we need to address, initiatives that we need to launch, disciples that need to be made, an indigenous inclusion and ministry that we want to be a part of. Oh, Jesus, I am not good enough. So call us into radical faith, we pray, into deeper devotion to you. Lord, that we would resolve to be humble people, that we would resolve to bring our wounds to you, that you would make these wounds sacred wounds, that we wouldn't transmit them, but rather we would see them transformed this year, that we would approach this year open to your work in our lives and in our church. And Lord, all of this is for your glory, your fame in our city. and our joy. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll see you next week as we launch our new series. Bye-bye.